Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
And I want to give you a little thought. We're coming out of the book of Ruth into the book of 1 Samuel when we come to 1 Samuel. And we know Ruth is a wonderful, wonderful book, man. But Ruth is really closing out the era or the time of the judges. And whenever we come into 1 Samuel, we find that Samuel's going to start setting some things up, and he's going to get ready for the dynasty of David that's going to come in, and that's really going to change everything. And really, when we go into 1 and 2 Samuel, I said this last week, we're starting to see some glory. Amen. We've come out of that gloom, and we're starting to get the gloom of Judges, the grace of Ruth, and then when we come to 1 and 2 Samuel, we get in the glory. Amen. Each and every one of us was living in a day of gloom. We was living in a day that we was messed up, but thank God for grace that came by, and because of His grace, we now can experience the glory of God. Amen. And I sure am thankful for that. If you found your place, 1 Samuel, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'm going to be in verse number 5, Miss Cassie, and then I'm going to skip around in the chapter to several other verses. I normally don't do that, but I don't have time to read all 28 verses this morning, and my mama said that she needed to get out of here. 1 Samuel chapter number 1, look with me. She really didn't say that. Verse number 5. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But watch what the Bible said. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. Now look in verse number 10. The Bible says, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. There shall be no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Go with me to verse 18 for the sake of time. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they arose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord. Boy, that's a very interesting statement right there, that she worshiped before the Lord. She's still barren. She still has no child. God has not blessed her with Samuel yet. And you know what she does in spite of all of that? She still worships before the Lord. You see, a lot of times our worship is based off of our circumstances, when indeed our worship should be based off of our Savior. And I just say that a lot of times we worship God as long as everything's all right. But everything's still wrong in her life. God's not blessed her with a child yet. She's not pregnant yet. She doesn't have a baby yet. And you know what she does? She says, in spite of the circumstances around me, I'm still going to worship Him for who He is. And goes on to say this in verse number 21. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Father, I love you today, and I pray that over the next few minutes, God, that you would help us as we preach today. God, thank you, Lord, for a church full of people to preach to today. And I pray, God, that as I stand behind this sacred desk, that every word that is uttered out of my mouth, God, will bring glory and will bring honor to your name. God, there's nothing I can do and nothing I can say within myself to help anybody. So, God, I pray that you would help us for just a little while today. God, I pray that if there's any here lost, God, that you would save them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to look at this story of Hannah for just a little while today and give you just a little thought out of it. If you've been in church any length of time at all, I'm sure that you've heard the story of Hannah and the story of Samuel referred to along the way. It's a very interesting story, and man, I'm really time would not permit us to preach all 28 of these verses. Matter of fact, we could preach a long time just out of verse number 5 where the Lord shut her womb up. A lot of times we don't understand why God does what God does, but He's still holy in doing what He does. Amen. I want to show you just three simple things, and then we'll go home. Number one, I want to look at her Mother's Day here out of this. Number one, I want you to see a mother's pain. I want you to see a mother's pain. I don't understand the way that Hannah felt right here. I have no clue what Hannah's going through. And you know, a lot of times we'll tell people, man, I understand what you're going through. And I know what we're saying by saying that sometimes. We're really just trying to show sympathy to them and show that we care. But honestly, a lot of times we really don't know what they're going through. There's no way that I can look at Hannah and say, Hannah, I know what you're going through. I'm praying for you. You want me to tell you the reason why? I've never been where Hannah's at. Hannah's in a place of pain right here. I know for my wife, not long after we got married, man, she began talking about wanting a baby. And 3 years after we got married, God blessed us with Madeline. And then God blessed us with Olivia. Then God blessed us with Victoria. And boy, I sure am thankful for that. But we never had to go through what some mothers and what some husbands or wives, they go through. Hannah is in a place of pain. Think about this. Her grief is personal. Her grief is spiritual because she wept and was in bitterness of soul. But think about this. Her grief was also seen by society. Others saw her grief. Matter of fact, if you go back and read the other verses coming into verse number 5, we note that others saw her grief. Now, you say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? In a time of pain in our life, we must remember who the Savior is. We must remember that God has never made a mistake, and God never will make a mistake. I think sometimes that we as the saved body of Christ, and we that's in church, and we're serving Him, and we're loving Him, we think that we're not supposed to go through hard days. But I promise you, there will be painful days along the way. I remember just a few weeks ago whenever that doctor came in and we was in that little bitty room. It wasn't even a room. It was had curtains around it, and they said that Dad was going to have open heart surgery. And boy, there was just a wave of emotions, anger and wonder and all different kind of things come through my mind. Then as we began to pray that God would help Dad, and I don't have no sad stories to tell, but I didn't have a pastor standing with me. My pastor was laying on the bed. Are you with me? Whenever you go through things in your life, a pastor's usually there with you. And I didn't have that man. And Dad looked at me. Dad was usually the one that prayed. And Dad looked at me and he said, you pray. And it was just me and Mom and Rebecca and Dad there, that little bitty room. And as I began to pray, I just said, Lord, we're not exempt from this. We're not better than nobody else. Understand me, there will be times of pain along the way. I see a mother's pain. I see a mother's pain. I thought about this. Many mothers silently carry grief infertility, loss of children, unfulfilled dreams, and many times it leads to strains in the relationship. But I want you to understand that even though I may not understand the pain that Hannah was going through, and I may not understand the pain that you are going through, and I know that we're preaching on Mother's Day, but boy, there is a practical application to all of us sitting in here today. There will be times of heartache. Our family will let us down. Somebody say amen. Our friends will let us down. Our church will let us down. The preacher will let you down. You will let the preacher down. There will be days of pain, and nobody else will really understand what it's like to be you. But aren't you thankful today for Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 15, where it says that we have a high priest, or that we don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He goes on to say that he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And you may be hurting today. You may be heartbroken today. You may be wondering what's going on in life. I sure am glad that I can report to you today that there is a God that knows where you're at, and there is a God that loves you, and there is a God that will help you in your time of pain. Well, I see Hannah's pain. Number two, I see Hannah's prayer. Is that not usually the order of things? We find pain, and in the midst of our pain, we end up resorting to prayer. It shouldn't be that way. And I say it again, it shouldn't be that way. We should have a prayer life continuously. Pray without ceasing. I listened to the interview. You may have watched it. The news media has done an interview with a missionary that was in Africa that was abducted out of Brother Tom Hatley's church. And he talks in that interview, is either him or his wife, one in that interview talking about praying without ceasing. And they said, I guess for the first time that verse became literal during those 6 days of being captured. Pray without ceasing. But so many times that's not the way it is. We wait till pain hits us, then we pray. I see a mother's pain, but I also see verse 9 through 15 or verse 9 through 18, a mother's prayer. What does she say in verse number 10? And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. Look in verse number 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts. Look in verse number 12. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord. A lot of times, let's just be real this morning, a lot of times we'll start a prayer, but how fervent are we in that prayer? How continuous are we in it? Boy, we'll pray, we hear the bad news, and we'll pray for a day or two, or our child will go astray, if you want to say it that way. And boy, we'll pray a day or two or three or four. But you know what she does? The Bible said this, she was continuous in her prayer. I thought about this. I probably wouldn't be here today. I probably wouldn't be saved today. I probably wouldn't be serving God today if it wasn't for the prayers of my mother. Thank God for a praying mama. Can I ask you something today, mama? Are you a praying mama? It's sad to say this, and this is uplifting the ladies and downgrading the men. So all you women, holler amen as I say this, all right? But the biggest part of the time, whenever I'm really in need of prayer, if I'm going to a meeting somewhere to preach and my heart's really heavy for it, there's several women that I text and I say, hey, would you pray for me? Let me tell you the reason why. I got confidence in their prayer life. A lot of times, now here's your time, women, to holler amen. Men are too busy to have a prayer life with God like we need to have. It's not that we are too busy. It's that we have a problem with time management. And we have a problem with priorities. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. The most praying person in the house ought not be the wife. It ought to be the husband. That's who it ought to be. But here's a mama that's praying. She prays. You know what? She prays, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's all right. God answers her prayer, and God gives her a son. And boy, the legacy that he leaves behind, the king that he anoints, and the things that he done. Why? Because the prayer of a mama. Because of the prayer of a mama. I wonder if we spend as much time praying for our children as we do trying to advance our children in a secular world, what would happen to them? I'm all for our children accomplishing things in their life. You know that. If you've been around me any time at all, you know that. I'm all for our children being the very best they can be at whatever they do. If they're going to sweep the floor, they ought to be the best floor sweeper. Amen. If they're going to do this, they ought to be the best. Whatever it is. But hear me and hear me well. More than anything we do, we ought to take time alone with God and pray for God's will for our children. She was a praying mama. Notice something about her prayer. She does something in her prayer. Watch verse number 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall no, and there shall no razor come upon his head. What does she do in her prayer? Watch this, she makes a vow to God. It was not a bargain with God. It was a vow to God. And here's what we want to do. Now, this is applicable to everybody sitting in here. We want to bargain with God in our prayers. God, if you do this, then I'll do this. God's not up for bargaining today. God, if you'll get me out of this mess. I heard an individual gave his testimony one time. He was in a bad place in his life. Here's what he said. I told God, God, if you'll get me out of here, I'll live for you. Well, God wasn't the one that got you there to begin with. Can I just time out and say that? God's not the one that got you in the mess you in to begin with. Your choices that you make, that's the problem today. Nobody wants to accept personal responsibility. Your choice, I'm preaching good right there, all right? Your choice has got you where you're at. And Hannah is not bargaining with God. Hannah's not saying, God, if you'll do this, then I'll serve you. God, if you'll do this, then I'll worship you. God, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. You know what Hannah says? She says, no, God, I'm making a vow to you. If you do give me that child, I'll give that child back to you. But watch what she does. Right after that, she goes and she worships the Lord. Why? All because her prayer life was out. Now, I want to say this to you. I want to say this to you. I want you to listen to me real, real good for just a second. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, verse number 4. Read it when you get home. You better not vow and not pay it. Those things that we say, God, I'll do this if you'll do it, and then God answers that prayer, and then you never come through on your end of the bargain. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just giving you plain English talk on that, okay? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen one day. God's going to get tired of that, and you're going to stand before Him for it. He said, it's better that thou wouldest not vow than to vow and not pay. We go to the altar a lot of times, and we say, God, if you'll do this, God, I'll do this, and then God does it in our life. Where's your end of the bargain at? Where are you at now? Hello, Tokyo. What's your relationship with God like? You know what Daniel said? Or not Daniel, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said? Daniel chapter 3, verse number, I'm almost done. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 18. I'm reading a book right now. Brother Mattis, that book that we got last Saturday night. I don't know if you've read any of that yet, but man, I'm telling you, it's got some great stuff in it. And matter of fact, I'm going to probably get a lot of parents, one of them that's in here, whenever I get done with it. If I keep enjoying it, I'm not going to give it out till I read it, Brother Brian. But if I keep enjoying it. But it was talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter number 3 has got to make a decision. King Nebuchadnezzar says, hey, look, you got to bow. If you don't bow, you're going to burn. And you know what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says to King Nebuchadnezzar? Throw us into the fiery furnace. We're not going to bow. We're not. Hear me. That was a decision that was made way before they ever got to Babylon. There was a mom and daddy that instilled sound doctrine in their mind, and they was taught that before they ever got to Babylon. Your kids, I don't want to get off topic here, but I am for just a second. I'm going to chase one rabbit, shoot it, kill it, and we'll be done. Your kids are going to go to Babylon. Your kids are going to go to the world one day. You can shelter them all you want to. The truth of the matter is this. They're going to enter the world. They're going to be in society. They're going to grow up one day. And what you're teaching them right now is the only thing that'll keep them right when they get to Babylon. They said, hey, look, we're not going to do it. Mom and Daddy's not with them. Mom and Daddy's not. Man, they're in Babylon by themselves. You know what they said? You just throw us in the fiery furnace, our God will deliver us from it. But if not, verse number 18, be it on this day. But if not, be it on this day. You know what they said? We're not going to change. We're not going to change. Our prayers today, in our prayers, be careful with your vows. And if you make it, you better keep it. Number one, there was a mother's pain. Number two, there was a mother's prayer. Number three, I'm done. There is a mother's persistence. A mother's persistence. Look with me. Verse number 19. I know I've already referenced this. I'm skipping so much. Go home and read the story. She goes to the house of God and talks to the man of God. And he prays with her and answered and said in verse 17, I don't have time to preach it. Go in peace. The God of Israel grant thee the petition that thou hast to ask of him. And can I just say this in passing? There's a practical application of her going to church, her talking to the man of God, getting counsel from the man of God, and man of God, through the help of God, helping the servant of God. It's all right to lean on your preacher in a time of pain. That's what they're there for. I've had people say this, preacher, I just don't want to be a bother to you. I promise you, you're not a bother to me. And if you ever become a bother to me, I'll tell you, hey, look, I think that we're wasting our time. I ask some people in here if I want. You're never a bother to the preacher. She goes to him, and boy, he prays with her and encourages her, and she goes away. Now watch this, her persistency in verse number 19. Even though she's in pain, even though she's prayed, the baby still is not here. But what does she do? She worships God anyway. She blesses the name of God anyway. Hear me this morning, church. No matter what today holds, we must continue to worship Him. No matter if He answers everything that we ask Him to do, we must continue to worship Him. There must come a time in our life that it's a Daniel 3 time in our life that we say, but if not, I'm still going to remain faithful to God. Her persistent, faithful mother keeps her promise to God. You come start playing, Miss Tanya. God answers her prayer and Samuel is born as we continue reading. Hannah names the baby Samuel, and it means God is heard. And Hannah fulfills her dedication to the Lord. What does she do? You remember I read to you, she said, Lord, if you'll give me this baby, I'll give him back to you. God, if you'll give me this child, I'll give this child back to you. God, if you give him to me, God, if you answer this, I'm going to give him back to you. Note what happens. She doesn't cling to the gift. Listen right here. She doesn't cling to the gift more than the giver. You didn't get it. She doesn't cling to the gift more than the giver. See, the only reason she had that baby was because of God. You know what she does? The baby's weaned, and when the baby's a child, she takes that baby back to the man of God. Here's what she does. Look in verse number 27. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. Therefore also if I lent him to the Lord, as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. What did she do? She gave him back to the Lord, man. She done exactly what she told God she would do. She was persistent. She did not cling to the gift that God gave her more than she did the giver. Now, I'm not saying this only with children. Understand, this is a broad statement. But the reason some of your prayers may not be getting answered is because God knows what you're going to do with it after he answers it. He gave Hannah that baby because he knew he could trust Hannah to give that baby back to him. She didn't cling to the gift more than the giver. I'm done. Motherhood is stewardship. The most powerful thing a mother can ever do is release her child back into God's care. It's the most powerful thing. The most powerful thing. Hannah teaches us that we can bring our deepest desires to the Lord. We can trust him even when it's painful. And that a praying, faithful mother can impact generations to come. Samuel anoints David. David leads Israel's spirituality. Why? Because she's a praying mother in her time of pain. But she remained persistent. She remained, boy, it's so needed today. She remained persistent. Just stay with it. Here's what the old timers would say. Don't wobble on the shaft. Just stay with it. Mama, let me tell you what will say more to your kids when they're old than anything. My mama was persistent in the service of God. I look back, I'm 47, 46. I'm fixing to be 47. I thought I'd been 47 all year. Thought I was fixing to turn 48. Thank God I've gained a year. But I look back on 46 years. And you know what I can say about my mama? Persistent. She's never changed. She's still the same. Chicken pie tastes the same. It might taste different now, thanks, Dad. Banana pudding tastes the same. Somebody say thank God for banana pudding. Are you with? It's the same. Her walk with God's the same. Bible reading's the same. Her praying's the same. Her singing's the same. Her shouting's the same. Persistent. Mamas today, be persistent for your child in the things of God. Don't. Don't just be hit and miss in the things of God for your child. Don't do that. You know, I thought about this. Madeline's our oldest, and she's done okay for herself. She went to school. She's got out of school. She's back in school. She's working full time. She's fixing to get married. She's done okay. She knows Daddy's proud of her. But what if she gets married and she goes on to school, Brother Randy, and she becomes a multimillionaire and has everything this world has to offer? But I never told her one thing about God. I never taught her the things of God. I never taught her to be consistent in the house of God. I never taught her her relationship with God was first and foremost the most important thing in this world. What have I accomplished in life? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I failed as a daddy, and Leslie failed as a mom. Because the most important thing we can ever teach our children is persistency in the things of God. But the only way you can do that, Mama, is to know God. So I asked you a question. Do you know Him? Because if you don't, you can never teach your kids to know Him. If you don't, there's a God that loves you and a God that would save you.